Let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's Word, Romans 13. Personally, I just think the message that I preached last week about the our enemies and those that go against us and what God says about that, I'm telling you, it goes against sometimes what our natural tendency would be. And I had several people come up to me during the service last week or during the week and let me know that I'm not the only one that struggles with that, and that God spoke to their heart about something. And one person said, I was figuring out what I was going to say to this one person until you preached that message. And it's not me that preached, it's the Word of God. And now, when you think about that, again, I cannot help but to think the conversations that the Apostle Paul and Aquila and Priscilla would have had after they had been thrown out of Rome. And the implications to that. So, and then I think about Paul. I wonder how many tonight, here today, sitting here, thinks that Paul died unjustly. I would say yes. But yet Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, not only talks about those that are our enemies and how we are to not have vengeance against them, that God will take care of that. And then he turns right around and now he preaches to us about our relationship to the government. And I will tell you, the believer's relationship with the government is as an important topic of consideration today as it was in the day of the Apostle Paul. I want you to think about that it was the Roman government that was wicked under the leadership of Nero that would have assassinated the Apostle Paul just because his stance for Christianity. And if you think we're any better than the Apostle Paul, you have another thing coming. And I'm just telling you, we live in times that are very similar to that. And what is amazing to me is how fast it's escalated, the evil and those that would be against the things of God. So here's what Paul says to us. And again, if I could have resigned this before these two messages, that would have been when it was. These are tough messages. For me, I know that you're much more spiritual than I am. The Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now think about that. That means Nebuchadnezzar. That means Pharaoh. That means the Roman government. That means where we are at today. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I want to preach on this subject this morning. We the people. We the people. God, I pray that you would help in the preaching of your word in light of the government that Paul was writing about when he wrote to those in Rome from a very Roman colony in Corinth. After discussing, no doubt, while the biblical text does not tell us, we know the historical text of the book of Acts speaks about when the church at Corinth was started, that Aquila and Priscilla were there. They had been removed from the city of Rome just because they were Jewish people. And Lord, today we make certainly an application of your people who live in a world that is very, in many ways, anti-God and anti-Christ. And the devil would try to throw anything and everything at a society and a culture today that would be anything but what the Bible teaches. God, I think just about the gender issue today and how sickened I am personally about how many think that there are many different kinds of genders when we know that the Bible teaches there's only two. There is man and there is woman. And Lord, that is the truth according to the Word of God, no matter what anyone would say. I pray that you would help in the preaching today. I pray that it would be with the right attitude and the right spirit, and that we would be convicted, Lord, to live within our society the way that we are to live as God's people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at my in my chair, my famous chair. The older I get, the more I like my chair. I mean, I'm telling you, I can take a nap there as good as anybody or any time. But I was sitting there and I got a text from Malcolm Forster, and he said this, "Preacher, could I interview you? Or could I get you to give me..." And then he said this, "It has to be audio. It can't be just... I have to audio something about citizenship, and then can you tell me what a good citizen would be like?" And I sat there and I thought about it for a minute, and then it took me a long time to figure out how to record something that you could actually send to somebody. And all the young people go, "That's very easy." Well, not to me, it's not. It's like me when I try to upgrade my computer. Everything don't look the way that it did look, so everything is messed up until I can... It's like you have to relearn everything all over again. I'm not interested in that. So I thought about it for just a minute, and I sent him a response in a very succinct way, very quickly, maybe it was 25 seconds or whatever. But then after I sent it, I thought, I hope that was right. I hope that was the right idea. And I began to think about and basically what I said. And this is something that was thrown on me just like this. Like, of course, he's got some Mills blood in his family. So it was last minute thing. You know, it wasn't like, "I've known about this for several weeks, preacher, but I got to get it done tonight." Oh, well, I know some people like that in your family. I'm not going there. I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying, should have given me a little bit more time to think. "Oh, no, I got to have it right now because it's due tomorrow. So you got 30 seconds to think about it." So, wait till you start losing your keys. Then you'll really be... Okay, anyway, different. So I begin to think about, hey, according to the Word of God, we're to be subject to the government. We're to be a good citizen inside of the culture that we live in. We're to be law-abiding citizens. We are not to cause trouble within the culture that we live. We are to pay our taxes according to the dictates of the government. We need to understand that God actually is in charge many times of who is in the government. He can set who He wants, and He can set who and take away who He wants. That's why God's people need to be involved in these kind of things. But then you would say, "Yeah, but we believe that it's not done justly and fairly." And then that brings on another headache. Because people tend to have a hard time trusting the government. Well, you think you could have trusted the Roman government? You think the Roman government did everything right? You think the Roman government was righteous in everything? Now listen to this. They had a leader named Nero who at the time actually burned Rome, but yet blamed the Christians for it. And as he blamed the Christians for it, the Christian leader, if you would, at the time would have been the Apostle Paul. Because after all, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, and the Gentile Romans ruled the world. And so automatically they went to Paul and said, because it's Christians' fault, this is your fault. And they actually imprisoned him and would eventually execute him. And I'm going to tell you, the execution of the Apostle Paul was not because Paul had done anything wrong. It was political. It was all politics. And so I'm just saying to you, but even inside of that, here we have the Apostle Paul saying things like, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That they are ministers of God to thee for good. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also you are to be subject for conscience sake. So God has used believers to influence their society. Let me say that, in the political realm. If you've been reading your Bible, I love reading the story of Joseph, but I don't like what happened to Joseph. I didn't like it that his brothers hated him so much that they had so much disdain for their own flesh and blood that they would sell him to the Ishmaelites on their way to Egypt, who would sell him to Potiphar. Listen, Joseph became a slave because his brothers hated him. And listen, you're talking about a dysfunctional family. It would be the family of Jacob. And yet it was Jacob that God used to become the patriarch and to bring about the 12 tribes of Israel. So I'm just telling you. But Joseph became the administrator of Pharaoh's empire to spare the lives of those living in Egypt and to spare his family's life. You see, Joseph couldn't see that just like we can't see the picture that God sees. All we can do is say, well, here's what God says. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And then we go to the nation of, or we go to the time of the Babylonian Empire and the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar. But yet, personally, I believe, reading through the book of Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar actually got saved, became righteous. Now, God had to put his head through a meat grinder for 7 years for him to understand that what Daniel was preaching and what Daniel was saying was true, but I do believe he got saved. But would we agree that Daniel became a great influence in the culture and in the rule of Nebuchadnezzar during the Babylonian Empire? And then also there was one man that not only influenced the Babylonian Empire, but also the Persian Empire, and that man was Daniel. And then we understand that as Paul is writing to the Romans from Corinth, and then later on would be in Rome, that he actually used Paul during the wicked rule of Nero, the emperor of Rome. He used his position positively for his own country. And Romans chapter 13 that we just read, those seven verses, gives us an insight of God's purpose for civil government. It also gives us principles on how we are to conduct ourselves as Christian citizens. Here's the premise. I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to tell you, you better swallow your conservative pride or whatever it might be. But we are to give respect to those leaders in our country, in our state, and in our city. It is important to understand why we should submit to human government. This, by the way, this is not a salvation message. This is a we the people message. It is important to understand that why we should submit to human government as a part of being under this. Listen, by submitting to human government, we are actually submitting to the headship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because He wrote the Bible, we did not. Now, here's one of the first reasons that we should submit to the government. Number one is because God said so. God is the one who appointed government as a avenue. In verses 1 and 2, he basically says, listen, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. In other words, nothing gets by God. I mean, it's like people think that an election is somehow going to bring righteousness to our country. It's not going to happen. It doesn't matter who the president, who the governor, it doesn't matter. But I do pray that we vote correctly and that we do the best we can. But in all, that's not the answer for the world. Jesus Christ is the answer. But this is one of the reasons God said, if that it be possible, live peaceably with all men. And so he goes, listen, in verse number 2, he says this, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of man. No, it's not what it says. It says, whosoever resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. God said, basically what God says is, I have ordained the government. And listen, God has not only ordained the government, but God has ordained the family. God is the one that gave Adam his wife Eve. That is God's plan. It is God's plan that we submit to human government. Every soul indicates this. It does not matter whether a person is a believer or a non-believer. It means this idea that government plays a role in everyone's life. Even if it's as simple, listen to this. Even if it's as simple as driving down the road in your vehicle and staying within the limits of the law, which means staying within the speed limit. Now, I can preach this now a lot better than I used to, because I don't really speed like I used to. I've really learned this. The older I get, my reflexes and all that kind of stuff ain't as good as it used to be. And I'm not willing to drive like I used to drive. Well, I should have stayed within the limit anyway. I mean, I used to drive professionally for FedEx. So I drove big trucks, I drove vans. And I'm telling you, I learned defensive driving. I went to driving school in Nashville, Tennessee for 2 weeks to learn how to teach other people. So like when I was driving down the road one day and I saw my wheel that was on my car going ahead of me, I knew that wasn't a good thing. And I'm telling you, I laid that car up on the two wheels because, I mean, I had to jerk the steering wheel away in such a way that I'm riding on these two wheels with one going down the road and then had to get it over. And man, you're talking about the adrenaline flowing. It was a cold night. It was about 7 o'clock at night. I got that thing off in the medium and I just looked up and said, thank you, Lord. And two people slammed on the brakes, ran over. They came to my window and I got out of the car and they said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I am now. They said, man, that was the coolest thing I ever saw. Said, man, did you ever drive a NASCAR? I said, no, but I'm thankful I've been trained on how to drive on two wheels when I didn't really want to. And so I found out that somebody had changed the tire on my car and they didn't put the lug bolts back tight like they were supposed to, goobers. Anyhow, I have no idea how that all came out. What was I talking about? Speed limit. There you go. Thank you. Praise God. The idea is to stay within the limit. That's part of living within the government's limits. Now, the one thing nobody wants to talk about is paying taxes. But yet the Bible says, render therefore to all their dues. Pay tribute also. Listen, this is part of it. Now, when you think about the word powers here in verse number 1 and 2, the word power means magistrate, authority, or jurisdiction. Paul was talking about the magistrates, the jurisdiction of the government. And it speaks of governmental authority, including legislatures, courts, police officers, and all that goes with it. Now, this is for the young people here. If you get pulled over by a police officer, you do what they say. And if they say, put your hands on the steering wheel, and then you say this, yes, sir, no, sir, we'll have to, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I guarantee you right now, you will de-escalate a lot of stuff if you'll just have respect for authority. Whether you were rightly pulled over or wrongly pulled over or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, I've been pulled over by a police officer before. It doesn't matter what my age is and doesn't matter what their age is. here's what I say. Yes, sir. No, sir. I was going, last time that I got pulled over was going through, I was going through Tulsa. I was on the interstate. I was on the 44 and I blew through the Pike Pass, but yet I had a Pike Pass. And the police officer pulled me over and said, and by the way, don't go through a Pike Pass without paying the toll, because they'll nail you. And so I said, yes, sir. No, sir. And then he goes, oh, you have a Pike Pass? Yes. And it was back in those days was when you could take them off. And he actually took it off and went back. And I kept thinking, I wish he'd hurry up. I got to go to the restroom really bad. And he came back. But you know what? If you get smart with a police officer, you're in for trouble. You need to have respect to magistrates, authorities, and all that such. So I'm going to tell you this. So the other day, I'm headed to Oklahoma. And I got a Pike Pass on my car. Always have. I've got a Pike Pass because I go to Oklahoma City a lot. Except I'm driving down the road and I'm between here and Joplin. And I go, I'm driving down the road and I do this. I don't think TJ put the Pike Pass on my truck. So guess what I did? Called him on the phone. Hey, did you put a Pike Pass on this truck? Oh, preacher, I forgot. Well, I just busted him right there in front of everybody now. I called him the next day and said, brother, quit worrying about it, because I know he had worried about it for 24 straight hours. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. I'm just glad I didn't blow through the Pike Pass and have to explain to the officer, yes, sir, no, sir, it's TJ's fault. It's not my fault. I'm going to put him on the telephone right now. No, that wouldn't have worked. He would have said, you're responsible for that. So here's what Peter wrote. You know what the word subject here we find in verse number 1 where it says, let every soul be subject. That just means submissive. Submit. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 2. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to kings as supreme or governors unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Now listen to this. Time out. This is Peter writing to those who were under the oppression of the Roman government. These are people that had lost their houses and lost their occupations because of their stand for salvation in Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? You see, we somehow think we're better than those people back under the Roman Empire. He said this. He said, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That's exactly what Peter said. And I'm just saying to you right now, listen to me, it is very popular in some circles to be anti-government. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. But such is not the case for the believer who wants to please God. It is clear that God's commands to the believer are to submit to the laws of the land. Now I'm going to preach tonight. You've got to be here tonight for this. I'm going to be preaching on building buildings. And I'm telling you, sometimes people get all bent out of shape when they have some kind of ordinance in the city on building that makes no sense whatsoever. But yet God says, go ahead and submit to that for God's sake. Please notice here that our submission is not dependent on whether we agree or disagree with the law or who's in the White House or who's in the governor's mansion. We are to submit. That is the bottom line according to what Paul says. Remembering that the recipients of 1 Peter were being persecuted by the government. They were forced to flee from their homes. They left nearly everything behind. Because it was politically correct to persecute Christians. Now today, if you stand up and preach what the Bible says about marriage, sexuality, then you're considered hate crime. Those were very hard and difficult times for God's people. And the command of God was submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And there may have been some kind of misunderstanding regarding the believers. Well, listen, I'm now saved. Unfortunately, some people have taken the admonition to avoid conformity to the world to mean that they don't have to do anything with a secular government. That's not what the Bible means. You can still live holy in an unholy world. This is not what Paul's intent was. Rather, their faith in Christ should make them a better citizen. That's what he's saying. We should be the best citizens. We will not always be in agreement with authority. Does everybody see this? But there's a balance to maintain. I'm just telling you, and we must be careful that we don't cross the line. Praise God, we live in a nation that we do. There's not a lot of good places to live in the world, but praise God for America. There's no place on earth like the United States of America. Praise God for free speech. And we can disagree with the government and freely speak out about it. We can even have part in the election of governmental officials. If we don't like what they stand for or what they're doing, we can vote them out. But our stand must be taken with a Christ-like manner. The same principle holds true regarding the institution of marriage. Marriage was established by God in the Garden of Eden. Trusting Christ doesn't do away with the institution of Christ. Rather, it makes a husband and wife to be better equipped to fulfill God's original plan for marriage. You know what the problem with men and women are? They're so different. Men are so different than women. And men ain't women, and women ain't men. And I always have said that my mama was a woman, and my sister was a woman, and my daughter was a woman, and my granddaughters are women, and I still don't understand it. Because they're different than men. Praise God for that. Somebody say amen. They need to know that God established human government, and that's evident. Listen, God is sovereign over nations to set up rulers. Jesus taught that we're to respect human government in Mark chapter 12. Peter echoed the same to the believers of his day who were living in a society that was becoming increasingly and increasingly anti-Christian. We live there. You go on the job. You go to the doctor and you ask you to fill out paperwork and they ask you what your gender is, and there's 17 things on it. And I just cross them all out. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm just like crossing them out. Then they ask me what my race was, and nowhere on there was Caucasian. So I just wrote on there, white, Caucasian. Oh, that's like the worst thing in the world. You can't do that. Well, I did. I'm just saying. What in the world? Listen, if you're Hispanic, I'm not Hispanic. You're Hispanic. If you're black, you're black. If you're white, you're white. God made us all equal. I don't even know what it matters. I should put on the next time that I have one blood, same blood. We all have the same blood. We all come from the same family. The second reason believers are to submit to the government is because actually government is designed to make order in society. Now, it seems like sometimes that's out of bounds. But it's still, God said this is the reason. He said this, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Basically, what he's saying is God's plan is for rulers to serve as a deterrent to evil and an encouragement to have right behavior. Those who are not doing right, those who are doing right should not be afraid. Listen, when I was unsaved and if I did something to break the law, I knew that I wasn't supposed to be doing it. Even after I got saved, when I got pulled over, I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. Well, if you haven't done anything, you don't have to be afraid of getting pulled over if you weren't speeding. Come on. Those who are breaking the law have a reason to be afraid. Look at verse 4. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath on him that doeth evil. The ruler does not bear the sword in vain. This means that the right of government is only to punish wrongdoers, not good citizens. This removes vengeance from individuals and places punishment in the hands of those appointed by God. In this verse, the secular ruler is referred to. This is amazing. that God calls the secular ruler a minister of God. In other words, he is God's servant who administers punishment for violating the law. Believers should also be in subjection to authorities because they ought to keep a clear conscience toward God. Look at verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Believers should be subjected, should be in subjection to authorities because they need to keep a clear conscience towards God. Those who know God and His will ought to stand, listen to this, as prime examples of being the best citizens. God's people shouldn't be arrested for stealing. They shouldn't be arrested for breaking some law that everybody knows. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. We should not be arrested for those things. They ought to be submissive because it is pleasing to God. So what is God saying? Well, God is saying, listen, submit yourself to government because God's the one that set it up in the first place, period. That's it. That's the message. And Paul applies this truth in a time when the Roman government was very anti-Christian. And again, I cannot but help thinking how him and Aquila and Priscilla would have these conversations while they were making tents. But yet doing so, and then he goes on to say this, and oh, by the way, pay your taxes. Now the Jewish people of the day that we live here, that we're in this day, they hated the Roman government. The Jewish people in Israel hated the Roman government. They were oppressive. And we do know about people like Matthew, who were tax collectors, and Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. Now, both of those men are good examples of getting right with God and doing the right thing. But there were a lot more that weren't like Matthew or Zacchaeus, who not only took the taxes from the people, but took a little bit more for themselves, and they extorted people. And so, therefore, the Jewish people who were under the oppression of Rome did not like taxes and all that. And they even came to Jesus and said, hey, is it okay not to pay taxes? And boy, they put him on the spot. But you don't put God on the spot. And remember what he said? Render under God the things that are God. That means this. Don't steal from God. Make sure you pay your tithes and your offerings and your missions. And then he said this, and render under Caesar. This is Jesus himself. Not only did he say, render under God the things that are God's, but also render under Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Do we live in an oppressive time of taxation? I believe so. I was just having this conversation with somebody yesterday. Man, sometimes it's like you're stifled. Do you know what I could do with that money that I pay taxes on? Don't think about it. Just do what God says. And doing so acknowledges their submission to the government in which they live. That's why he said in verse number 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they that are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. And here's what I do believe. I do believe our police officers need to be paid. It's only proper and right to financially support the public servant who brings order in our society. We benefit from the service of police officers and firefighters and teachers and others who serve our community. Verse 7 summarizes it all by saying, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That summarizes the duty of citizenship. We're to pay taxes and show respect. There it is right there. Pay taxes, show respect. The chapter presents government the way God intended it. What are we to do when the laws of the land conflict with the laws of God? Well, believers have encountered this situation through all of history. I was just reading through my Bible. Probably one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Moses. You want to study leadership? Study Moses. And the Hebrew midwives secretly spared the lives of the Hebrew babies that were ordered to be killed by Pharaoh. They didn't do it. I don't think people should kill babies today just because it's okay with the law. I don't think people should drink just because, and I don't think people should get involved in marijuana just because the people of this state would vote for that kind of nonsense. If you don't understand marijuana, it is nothing more than an introductory drug. You have enough marijuana, after a while, it ain't enough. And then so you move on to something else. And so the government is going to say it's okay because they can get more money. But yet, that never works out. That's like people who leave church and you think, well, there goes the tithes, but yet it goes up. Go explain that to me, preacher. I can't. But I can explain this to you. If you own a business, don't do unrighteous things with your business because God can't bless that. But if you do righteous things with your business, God can bless that. And people who do unrighteous things in their business, like sell liquor and alcohol and marijuana and all that, God can't put His stamp of approval on it. And I want God's approval on it. So I'm just telling you, Daniel continued to pray even when they said you can't pray. And by the way, that's what they want to do today. They want to take Bibles and prayer out of the public arena. I just read an article about a lady in London, England, standing across from an abortion clinic. She is standing way away from it. She bows her head and prays, and they arrested her. You say, I've never heard. Well, Daniel got arrested for praying. He opened up his window. They said, you can't pray anymore to God. He opened up his window. He bowed down towards Jerusalem, and he prayed just like he did every day. And he got arrested and thrown into a lion's den, but God shut the mouths of the lions. Amen. Peter and John gave the proper Christian response when they were commanded by the governmental rulers to cease preaching in the name of Jesus. They said, we cannot do that. Amen. They selected to obey God rather than men. We are to obey the laws of our land as long as they don't violate the laws of God. A willingness to resist the demands of secular rulers when those conflict with the demand of God we serve is a part of the transformed life is what I'm trying to say, that we read about in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Clearly, government does not have to be thoroughly Christians for Christians to be submissive. That'd be nice if we had righteous leaders, and it's always a good thing when the governor or the senator or the house or the representative is a God-fearing man. And I've never been to this thing where they go out to the Capitol every year. There's a bunch of preachers that go. I've never done this, but they'll come back and say, there's some people in Congress that believe God. They take a righteous stand. Okay. Good. Praise God. I'm happy for that. But I'm telling you, Paul was submissive to a Roman government that was not known for Christian values. Roman government executed Jesus Christ on the cross. It was also the Roman government who removed Christians from their homes and disrupted lives because it was politically correct. Nonetheless, he wrote those instructions to believers living in Rome. And the Christian faith does not have to be ideal climate to thrive. It thrives in climates that are very hostile to the gospel. You know what, though? The gospel has power to change people's lives. But I will tell you this, we can't thrive where there's apathy on the part of the Christian. That's important in our time and in our nation's history. We need to pray for those in leadership. We need to teach our children to respect authority early in life. It's like people are teaching their kids to disobey authority. My wife's sister taught school. Actually, she has a sister that still teaches and one that taught in California. And she was ready to retire because they couldn't do anything if a kid laid on the ground and started flopping around like a fish. That's not the teacher's fault. That's the parents' fault. If my teacher in any of my elementary or junior high called my dad and said, your son's laying on the floor flopping around like a fish. Son, I wouldn't have been flopping around very long. I'd have been flopping around, but it would have been... It wouldn't have been like a fish. And it's like, well, you can't say that anymore today. May God help us. Provide an example for your children. Listen to this. Plan a trip to the Capitol so your kids can see the government. Go to the local fire department. Come on now. And go to other locations that will instill respect for community leaders. Obey the laws of the land. That includes hunting and fishing regulations. That includes speeding. That includes paying your taxes. Because if we're going to obey Christ's command to take the gospel into all the world, even where human governments prohibit it, pray for those who take the gospel to countries that every time we have Tim stands up here on Sunday night and he has to say, well, this is a restricted country. We have to turn off live stream so nobody can hear us read the letter. We don't have to say that for us. But there's places like that. And there's missionaries. I'm telling you, when I read a little snippet or a clip or something about a missionary or a missionary's wife and the oppression that they're dealing with, listen, it's real, my friend. When I flew to India in 2010, I'm going to tell you right now, when I landed in Trivandrum, southern India, I'm telling you, I'm even thinking about it right now. I got the cold chill bumps right on the back of my neck right now. I felt the oppression of Satan. And I think, and Brother Sam, he ministers it to these people in this country. I saw things in India that I've never seen in America. I saw people eating out of a garbage can. And that just made me cry. But you see, when the devil is oppressive upon a country, then that's the kind of stuff you have. And my friend, as our country goes away from Christ, you'll begin to see these same things. Amen. Which we'd never heard of 50 years ago. But God still says, have respect. Teach your kids respect for authority in the government. And as citizens who are Christians living in the United States of America, we the people, it is our responsibility to present Christ to those living in our nation. Listen, we have the freedom to tell people the gospel and we don't even do it. There are other countries where they don't have that freedom and they do it. We the people of our day desperately need to see true biblical Christianity. We the people have a wonderful opportunity before us. We the people need to ask the Lord to help us to make most of the Christian citizenship that we have in the United States. Hey, you want to say we live in a perfect country? The answer is no. But we still live in a country where we have the freedom to speak to somebody and tell them how to be saved. Paul said, preach, but be respectful to government. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed.